When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than 3 decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you've come to the right place. It's Live and Local Now for a Monday brand new week. We had protests across the state. We had a protest in Carson City. According to James Settlemyer, the estimates that he's getting is that it was anywhere from 5 to, I think, 700, maybe 1,000. He's satisfied with 500. Reports are from here in Las Vegas that they had over 500 people protesting the governor on Saturday. We'll talk about that coming up in just a couple of minutes. This hour of Live and Local Now brought to you by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year. Just $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, $529 for a family. That's mom and dad and all the kids. Call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or check it out on your smartphone. Do it right now. LibertyHealthShare.org/Kevin Wall. That's LibertyHealthShare.org/Kevin Wall. Well, he is with us every Monday, regardless of where he is joining us, in studio or at home. He's at home today. He is Victor Jakes, the 3-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And Victor, what did you make of the at least 2 protests that we know of? There may be others that you know of across the state over the weekend, telling the governor we've had enough.
Well, I think it's a natural reaction to society being shut down for a month without a clear path forward. I mean, I think when everyone said, "Look, there's this virus here. It's new. We don't know what. I mean, we don't know very much about it. Thanks to China hiding as much as possible. We will do what is required. We'll do what we can to stop the virus. And that involves shutting down the economy, shutting down almost everything. And I think people are rightly saying, all right, look, we flattened the curve. The hospital system isn't overwhelmed. Give us a plan. Let us know how we get back to some semblance of normal."
I was disappointed last week on the same day that the president gave us a 3-phase game plan for essentially restarting our economy. The governor said, "I'll get back to you on that maybe next week." That was a little less than that. That was a little underwhelming. Let's just say.
Well, it was very underwhelming. I mean, I had the week before last, I had asked him, "Look, what measurements are you looking at?" And he'd given some kind of vague measurements, but look, the governor's got a hard job. I don't want to. It's hard, right? I mean, so I want to just get that. I just want to put that out there. I understand that it's hard, but I mean, you do got to think about, well, how do we reopen this thing? And, you got to put the measurements out beforehand. You got to put the standards out beforehand, because otherwise it's going to be too easy to just kind of react instinctively and just, kind of yank people around. I mean, we've got to know what the plan is, why this is the plan, why it's necessary to keep sacrificing. And I think people are willing to sacrifice. I don't think people are going to just, personally in their own lives have the same behavior they did before, at least for a while. Look, when you're telling people that you're out of a job, I mean, the unemployment rate now is probably over 20%, probably going to get to 25-30% unemployment. I mean, this is an absolute crisis, and we've got to have a plan out of the crisis.
Now, let me ask you, as far as the governor is concerned, do you think we will get a solid proposal? I mean, there are more protests planned for this week across the state. Do you get a sense that the governor is feeling any pressure about this?
Well, I mean, I'm sure he is, and whether there's protests or not. I mean, anytime you have unemployment at record high levels, there is pressure. I mean, just political pressure, and obviously there's the public health pressure and the responsibility of, feeling like you have people's lives in your hands with your decision that you're making. So, yes, I think he's under enormous pressure. But, the thing is, I obviously the state GOP party has a political, angle in this, which is fine. I mean, politics is politics, but most people are not interested in this as a political thing. I mean, this is we are all on the same side. We want as few people to die, and we want the economy to reopen. And we understand there's going to be trade-offs between those two things, but we want this to work because, this isn't about, getting Sisolak out of office in 2 years. I mean, this is about allowing people to have their jobs, allowing people to pay their bills, and, to raise their kids without being stressed about money. This is about keeping grandma alive. I mean, so we're all on the same side. We just wanted to kind of know where we're going, what the plan is, and that's important.
James Settlemyer, the state Senate minority leader, sent a letter late last week to the governor. He has not heard back from the governor or anybody connected with the governor in response. He asked for really the answers to a number of questions. I'm curious the questions you would want answered. And maybe you'll get that chance at one of these crazy news briefings. What are the questions that you would want answered by the governor?
Well, I'd want to know, what is the standard for reopening? Is it we've flattened the curve? We haven't overwhelmed the healthcare system. So what? What is it? Is it hospitalizations? Is it a decrease in hospital usage? I mean, the testing numbers are basically just as long as we have more tests, we're going to have more people testing positive. So I think that's not quite the right thing to look at. I mean, deaths are obviously the biggest tragedy in this, but they're also a lagging indicator. What is the measurement? And then what are the phase steps? Because I don't think anyone's saying, all right, let's pack Raiders Stadium tomorrow. Everybody get in there. But, why can't we reopen church drive-throughs? Why can't we open golf courses again? Why can't we have kids going on at the park? And the other thing I want to look at is, do we need to kind of segment people by age? Because, I mean, just from the data, if you're under 40, your risk is very, very low. Your risk of dying from this is extremely low. Obviously, it's a little higher, to just catch it and feel symptoms. But, how do we... Is there some accommodations we can make for people who aren't at risk as much as if you're over 70? Like you've got to be taking a lot of precautions because this can be really deadly if you catch it.
What is your sense of the people? We had peaceful rallies both in Carson City and in Las Vegas. We got more rallies scheduled for this week. What is your sense of what the people are thinking? I mean, at what point does this peaceful protest turn into civil disobedience and maybe even something worse than that?
I don't think we're there, and maybe that's just my hope. I mean, I think, political protests are a tried and true American tradition. I mean, that they're the right to do that is protected by the First Amendment. I remember the Tea Party rallies back in 2009, you know, and those were very large protests, but always very peaceful. You know, the people were super pleasant. They just, you know, they wanted the government to hear their voice. I don't think you're going to see any violence. I mean, I don't think that's necessary. I think, you know, Sisolak wants to reopen the economy. And so I think we're going to see, you know, a path forward here pretty quickly.
What about schools? And this is something, we got kids sitting at home. Some may be learning, others may not be at all. All I know is in my neighborhood, I hear the kids out 24/7 just about. I mean, they're out morning, noon, and night outside, and I hear them. And I know that they're not studying all day long. What is your sense of what we should do with the schools? And by the way, it should be noted that you're a homeschooler, right?
Yeah. So we, our routine hasn't changed that much. We're still, you know, we had the material to educate our kids at home, and we still do. If I had to guess, I would say that Sisolak closes schools down. In fact, that is my guess. I think he's going to, you know, say the schools are going to be shut down through the end of the year. It's such a hard decision because obviously he doesn't want to be seen as the governor who, you know, caused lots of people to die. But when you look at the chances, it's just really interesting because there's new evidence basically coming out that says the worst thing you can do is put people in a confined space with someone who's sick. And so I think there's some evidence that, you know, look, if you have kids together, you know, that's not necessarily the worst thing because they're at very low risk personally, and you are going to spread it back into their families. That's true, but you're also not going to have people confined in the same space for as long of a time. And the other thing is you have to think about is look, I mean, even if we have successfully contained this virus for the short term, at some point people are going back to school. At some point the infections are coming back. And so I think the schools is a really tough decision. I don't think Sisolak's going to reopen them, but I think there's actually a strong case that you could reopen them pretty safely.
I mean, even in normal times, I've been told this by teachers and by parents of young children, and they all say the same thing, that our public schools are incubators, not of, liberal thought, although it is, but it's an incubator for every sniffle, every head cold, every sore throat that's out there. Your kids will get it, and they'll probably pass it on to the parents. Do you worry that if we were to reopen the schools for a month or 2 months during the summer, that we would open parents and other family members?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's the concern. I think it's a valid concern. I just think, you know, there's one of the things we don't know about this drug is it better to be exposed to a lot of people a little, or is it better to be exposed to just a couple of people all the time? And I think there's been evidence basically showing that, you know, one of the worst things you can do is be in a really confined space with someone who has it or has been exposed to it. You know, that's what really causes it to spread. I mean, you look at New York, you look at their subway system. It seems like that's one of the big reasons that they've been hit so hard by this. And then the second question is, well, even if we keep them home until school starts in August, they're going back to school. I mean, so if the second wave is going to come, you know, do we want to have it come now and give kids another month of learning? And you know, those are the trade-offs that, you know, leaders have to make. They have to judge and say, you know, what's the balance? And I don't think it's something where it's clear cut, like, oh, it's definitely this answer or it's definitely that answer. I mean, it's a hard balance. You know, kids are at almost zero risk of fatalities from coronavirus. So you're not concerned about them for themselves. It's just about, you know, what is the risk to their parents? And so how do you weigh, you know, increased education for 300,000, 500,000 kids in the state versus a chance of increased spread among grandparents, especially when that spread is going to happen in the fall. It's a tough decision.
So what happens when we do open in September? Let's just say the governor declares schools closed and we'll pick it up again in August or September. What will have to be different? I mean, this social distancing stuff, how do you do that with 300,000 kids?
Well, you don't. And I think that's what's, you know, the initial push for flattening the curve was not stop people from getting it. It was stop people from getting it all at once so we don't overwhelm the hospital system. And it seems like some people now think, or some, you know, political figures now are basically sending the message that, well, our goal should be to stop people from getting the virus. Well, a month ago, that wasn't the goal, right? Like, no one thought that was feasible. And so I'm concerned that we basically shifted the goalposts from don't overwhelm the hospital system to, well, we better keep the economy shut down until no one's getting the virus. Well, people are getting the virus. That's the problem, right? It's a brand new virus. It's highly transmissible. So people are getting the virus. I mean, it's just a matter of how much economic damage are we willing to do? How much damage are we willing to do to people's education? And so I don't think it's right to put out there this idea that, well, we can just stop the spread. No, we can't stop the spread. I mean, maybe maybe an extra 4 months makes a huge difference in terms of finding an effective treatment. But there's not a way to just stop people from getting this. It's not going away.
I want to ask you, in the press briefing yesterday, the coronavirus national president, Deborah Birx, et cetera, press briefing, the subject of Las Vegas and the war of words between Carolyn Goodman and Steve Sisolak. And the president kind of took the middle ground and said, well, I can see both sides. And he says, I'm okay with what the governor did. Did you learn anything from the president in that exchange with Deborah Saunders?
Yeah, my impression of that was, you know, when the president is kind of asked something that he doesn't really know about, that's basically what he falls back on. You know, he basically gives both sides of the argument and says, okay, yeah, I can see both sides. So my take is, you know, he wasn't following what's happening in Nevada all that closely, which is totally understandable. And so he, you know, basically just kind of, you know, that was his way of getting out of the question.
Be interesting to see how he expands on that, maybe as early as today. Always good to visit with you, my friend. I guess we're going to have more protests. Maybe before the end of the week, we'll get a plan from the guy. Do you sense that we'll get a plan for reopening the economy?
I do think we're going to get a plan. I mean, he basically promised that last week. I mean, it's certainly time to come out with something. And the thing is that, look, if he has a plan and he has to change the plan, I'm okay with that. I mean, we're all on the same side here. I've criticized the governor for certain things, but it's not in terms of not wanting to get to the same place, right? I mean, we all want people healthy and we want the economy working. So let's get a plan. Let's let people know what the plan is. Let them prepare. Let them know there's an end in sight, and we are all in this together.
Victor, always good to visit with you. Thanks, my friend. Stay safe, you and the family, and we'll talk again next Monday.
You too. Thanks, Kevin.
All righty. Victor Jakes, three-time-a-week columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Stick around. More to do. Coming up, I'm going to let you hear the president eventually. And one of the things that I'm going to let you hear is that exchange with Deborah Saunders, where essentially the president says, well, I can see both sides. And it probably is the default position when the president's not really briefed on what's going on out here. We'll talk about that and more coming up live and local now. In these troubled times, we all need to prepare for the unexpected. Hey, Kevin Wall here. That's why I recently called Castle Insurance Group to do a full review of my insurance. In an emergency, I wanted to be fully covered, but I also wanted to make sure I was getting the most bang for the buck. I spent all of about 10 minutes with my Castle Insurance Group agent, and the next morning, she had my quotes for auto and renter's insurance ready to go. She not only improved my coverage, but she also saved me hundreds of dollars. In these uncertain times, who couldn't use more money in their pocket? At Castle Insurance Group, they'll find you the best policy from name brand insurers like Progressive, Nationwide, Safeco, Travelers, Hartford, and ASI. Would you like to save money on your home, auto, and life insurance while actually improving coverage? Then call my friends at Castle Insurance Group at 702-714-1060. Ask for a free quote. That's 702-714-1060. All it will cost you is 10 minutes and a phone call. That's 702-714-1060.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor of Nevada. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycry and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. During the COVID-19 business shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has categorized bicycle shops as essential businesses. We've been servicing a lot of bikes to help people get their two-wheeled transportation up and running. Many people who are losing their jobs are now using their bicycles for transportation. They don't have money for their car or their insurance, so they'll use a bike to get around. Our community is also using them as a way to get outdoors, stay in shape, and enjoy the fresh air. If you need help dusting off the cobwebs and getting on your bike, we're here to service you curbside from 9 to 5 daily. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215, as well as the Bonneville Transit Center downtown Las Vegas. Our phone number is 702-596-2953.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with memberships starting as early as the following month. And there are no contracts or commitments. Programs start as low as $199 per month, and there's no network. So you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. So your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
Hi, I'm Jim Small, and I'm running for State Assembly in District 2. I grew up instilled with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and spending money wisely. District 2 wants a representative in Carson City that will fight high taxes and regulations that hurt businesses and the livelihood of everyday Nevadans. I have carried those values all of my life, and I have the necessary experience to do the job. My name is Jim Small, and I'm running to be your Assemblyman in District 2. Remember, think big, vote small. Paid for by Jim for Nevada.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal too. It's live and local now. We're going to check in with Scott Hammond, state senator. He's doing those teletown halls. We'll find out what people are asking across the state. This is going to be fascinating. Stick around. More to do as we continue. Oh, and don't forget Jared Fisher after 11 o'clock. What would he do as governor? We'll talk about that and more coming up live and local now.
I'm Lauren Simonetti, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are falling, but pairing from earlier losses as investors weighed the latest coronavirus news along with the decline in oil prices. And shares of Amazon and Netflix are surging in a down market and pushing their gains this year to more than 30% each. Both companies hitting record highs last week and benefiting from the stay-at-home trend amid the outbreak. And Uber stock is spiking after landing a hefty deal with the government, the General Services Administration awarding an $810 million contract with the ride-hailing service. And more layoffs and furloughs in the retail industry. coach parent company Tapestry will be laying off 2,100 part-time staffers beginning this weekend and will furlough most assistant managers and associates at stores that don't open by the end of May. In addition, the company will be slashing pay for its executives, including a 50% reduction for its CEO. VentureFox Business Report, I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Chris Foster. It's now week six since the Trump administration put out its guidance for slowing the coronavirus spread, and more people have just had it with the restrictions in their states.
Shutdown protests continue across the country, from Hawaii to Texas to Wisconsin. With people demanding to get back to work safely. The latest rally expecting thousands of people today outside Pennsylvania's state capitol in Harrisburg.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. Polls show a majority of Americans favor the stay-at-home orders. Their tornado watch is up after more violent weather over the weekend in the southeast.
Thousands of power outages are reported from Louisiana to Mississippi and Alabama. The storms come as the U.S. South is still cleaning up from Easter weekend turbulent weather that killed more than 30 people.
Fox's Evan Brown. America's listening to Fox News.
It's a very confusing and stressful time right now, especially for our wounded and ill veterans and their caregivers. Practice social distancing, wash your hands frequently, and stay at home to avoid exposure. If you don't have symptoms or have questions, use secure messaging through My Healthy Vet or the VA telehealth service. If you develop symptoms, please call your local VA facility. We will get through this. For more details, visit va.gov/coronavirus.
This is a community and a geography starkly split.
Fox Nation takes you back inside the fight that has spanned over a century and defined a region. Now, Pete Hegseth returns to the Holy Land, exploring new ground on both sides of the disputed border.
I wish Arabs and Jews could live together.
We used to be exactly the same.
Learning that this fight is more personal than we think. Don't miss Season 3 of Battle in the Holy Land. Available now, only on Fox Nation.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100+ job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100+ job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer.
You don't have to deliver 15 tons of food to the hungry.
You can start with 10 ounces.
You don't have to dedicate your life to saving lives.
Just dedicate 15 minutes.
You don't need to provide guidance to 5,000 young men and women.
Just one will do.
You don't have to build a school in an impoverished area to change a child's life.
Just spend an hour a week reading at one.
The men and women of America's Navy do some amazing things to make the world a better place. But then again, so can millions of everyday Americans right in their own backyards. Brought to you by America's Navy.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
On out across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's live and local now, and we are so happy to have Scott Hammond, state senator, and one of the leaders in Carson City relative to what's going on right now. Everybody and their brothers asking, is the governor going to reopen the economy? Nobody seems to know. He promised last week. Well, check with me next week, and I'll probably have some metrics for you. Joining us now is Scott Hammond, state senator from Southern Nevada, and he joins us. Scott, first of all, thanks for joining us. Anybody that's been on the show, been following the show over the last couple of weeks, it's the saga of eternal torment known as, has the governor called? Have you talked directly with the governor? Whoops. I didn't do that. I did not do that. I think that happened on his own. I think that may have happened on his own. Ooh. We were talking about the fact that the governor hasn't talked to James Settlemyer, the Senate Minority Leader. But let's see if he's reached out to Scott Hammond. Senator Hammond, first of all, thanks for joining us. Always good to be with you. Have you talked to the governor?
Hey, good to see you again. Or good to hear from you again, I should say, because I don't see you not in studio again. I have not heard from the governor. And I tell you, I mean, it's a big job. I get that. And he's doing the best he can, I'm sure. When you look back at this whole thing and anytime you have a crisis like this, you're going to look at how you responded to it. You're going to find out exactly how your agencies did. You're going to find out where you might have been able to improve. And I'll tell you, if I were the governor, and I'm saying this out of a concern for the state going forward, not out of frustration, not out of anger or anything like that. It's just one of those things that I definitely would ask in the future for improvement on is communication with legislators. You know, we're the ones who seem to be the front line folks. People call me all day, every day, and rightfully so. You know, I represent them. They're my constituency. They want to know what's going on. So we are hearing a lot of people's opinions about what they would like to see, or we hear a lot about what they're going through. And so it's really important that the governor have that sort of communication system in place with the legislators. You know, regardless of party affiliation, Republican, Democrat, he really needs to open that up. And again, I say that more out of I'd like to see that happen because I think a lot of people need that. They are going to call me up regardless of whether or not I've been in the loop or more in the loop or less in the loop, or my answers are still going to call because they believe that you know, I'm the person who has the link to what's going on. And so I would really hope that that's the one thing that we improve going forward, as well as other things that as he evaluates how we responded to the epidemic. The pandemic, that definitely would be one of those things that would change. So as of right now, I have not heard directly from the governor. We still have, once a week, we do have phone calls with his office where they kind of give us an update on some of the things going on in these agencies or what's going on with the pandemic. They last anywhere between 15 to 20, 25 minutes, and then no questions or answers or no questions. There's no give or take, you know, after they say something, you have a question, you know, they don't do that. They just get off the phone. So it's a little bit frustrating because we just don't get enough answers.
I know that you're still doing your teletown halls. They have been bipartisan. You had Marilyn Kirkpatrick on there. I'm curious, would you ever invite the governor to come on one of your teletown halls? And if so, what would be the first question you'd ask him?
Great question. We've been doing the teletown halls almost since the beginning. I really felt like it was a great way to reach out to those constituents and when they did have questions, to be able to write down those questions and look for answers later on. It's been very bipartisan. We've had Senator Hardy, who's an MD. He was on. We've had Marilyn Kirkpatrick. I've had Connie Monk. I've had Michelle Fiore. So I've had several Republicans and Democrats trying to make sure we reach across. And absolutely, the governor has an open invitation to join. Matter of fact, we're going to have another one tonight. We were hoping to have some folks from Veeder call in and answer questions, but we had to postpone that until next week or hopefully next week. Tonight we're going to try and find another guest host that's going to answer questions. And if people are out there listening, the number is 702-323-6712. And again, if the governor were to call in, would love to have him. call in and just talk to a few of my constituents in Senate District 18. The first thing I think most people really want to know, and what I would like to have them answer is, what about schools? We're slated to open on the 1st of May. Are we going to be opening them up, or are we going to shut it down for the year? I know a lot of other people would probably ask the first question is, when are we going to open up? And I'd like to know that answer too. But I think schools, a lot of teachers out there, a lot of staff, a lot of students, they really want to know what's going to happen between now and the end of May when they're slated to end school normally or naturally. So that'd be the first question I asked him.
Scott, how much ramp up time do you need? I mean, you're an educator. How much lead time will the district need in order to fire up the schools on May 1st?
That's a great question. I just had a conversation last week with Superintendent Jara, and he believes that they would need at least 10 days to kind of ramp up. And that's, I think, ordering food for the cafeterias, getting all the teachers prepped and ready to go. They might be able to do it in less time, but he was asking for about 10 minutes. It does take a little bit of time. It's just like any big business, right? It's like the casinos. You just don't flip a switch, as we keep hearing people talk about. And the next thing you know, you've got plenty of customers. You've got everything running smoothly. You have to order a lot of supplies. You have to order, get people ready to go, get the schedules. It does take a little bit of time. So if the governor is going to want to open up May 1st, he probably needs to make an announcement this week in order for them to be ready on that May 1st deadline.
I'm curious, everybody and their brother has an opinion about the governor, the folks that were protesting, both in Carson City and in Las Vegas. I'm not sure how closely you followed either of those rallies, those protests, but I'm curious what you made of the protests. There were, according to James Settlemyer, up north in Carson City, his reports were that anywhere from 500, 700, maybe 1,000 people down here, 500, maybe more. What did you make of the protest, and did you understand what people were trying to say with their protest?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the question. I'm saying absolutely to the second part, as what were they asking for? And I'll tell you, you get a lot of mixed messages. Sometimes you get so frustrated going on social media because you might just say, I'd really like the governor to start talking to us about what his plans are to reopen. And all you get in response to that, the retorts that you get are, you don't understand science. You obviously don't care about the data. What don't you understand about pandemic? And I'm like, those are all so glib and so short, and really it's not getting to what we're trying to ask or trying to accomplish. And I think the protests, along with many of my colleagues, we're not asking that we open tomorrow. What we're asking for is the governor to talk about the plan. What is the plan? If we are in phase one, according to President Trump's calculations, great. That means we could be opening up pretty soon. But we're not asking to open up. I think the protests were about just show us what you got. Tell us what you're doing, and let us be a part of what's going on so we're more informed. I mean, we're all sitting around, and quite frankly, none of us are really – we're creatures of habit. We're in the habit of going to work. We're in the habit of doing this with our kids. We had volleyball. Saturday was volleyball Saturday for us, or we had this on Wednesday night. So we're very active people, and sitting around home, it caused us to – think about a lot of other things, right? And so we really want to know, what does the future hold? Could you please start giving some details about what you're looking for? And he's given us a little bit. Over the weekend, I saw an opinion piece by Mr. Maddox from The Wind saying, four or five things that they need to do. And it's all very much based in science and data, but still having a plan in place, still saying this is how we're going to proceed, but looking at the data, making sure that we're having more testing available. I mean, these are all things that people would like to see. They're rational, reasonable measures and steps. You don't just jump in the lake in this case. You just take, you put your toe in there at least and test the cold, the water, and see if it's cold or not, but then start moving forward. You have to do that. I think that's what most people are asking for is give us a blueprint. What are you looking at? When can we start looking at getting back to some form of normalcy? Obviously, it's not going to be completely normal because the virus will still be around. And I don't think anybody would like to create a scenario where we actually create a place where the surge will happen again. We don't want that. What we want is just somebody to give us some plans.
You've spent most of your adult life, again, Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator, District 18 joining us. You've spent most of your adult life in giving out grades to young people. You've taught. I want to ask you, the governor, on a 1 to 10 scale, give me a number. 10 being highest.
10 being highest. Look, you always want to make sure that people are grading you based on their understanding of what you do. And, it's a big job. A lot of people say, look, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes right now. He's doing okay. He's making sure that lives are being saved. And so it's hard to give him a grade. I grade him on some of the things that frustrate me, as we all do, right? We look at our frustration level and we say, okay, this is how frustrated I am, and you're graded to be this. Well, if you're talking about communication and making sure that we kind of know what's going on as legislators, I'd say it's very low, right? As far as what he's doing to save lives and, taking the right steps, did we shut down and the strip? Did we do that in time? And was it a good move? I'd say, yeah, it's going to be a high grade, 9, 10, somewhere around there, because we wanted to make sure that this didn't get out of hand. But as far as the communication, every time that he would put out a directive, about an hour later, he had to clarify that directive. And then an hour later, he had to clarify the clarification. Communication has been really low. I'd say 3, 4, maybe at best. It's hard because, again, you have to look at the totality of what he's doing. It's a big job, and a lot of people would not want to have that. And it would be a very difficult job to pull off. But I look at it as I definitely would want to have more communication with people because that's what they want. I look at, again, Ohio. I look at New York, the governors that were out there making sure that people knew what was going on. I love that. That's the kind of person I would be in this crisis, making sure people are up to speed and up to date with a lot of information.
Again, Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator. And I've got to ask you, because everybody keeps asking me, we saw these big protests over the weekend. There are more scheduled for this week. Do you get a sense that we're going to go from unrest to maybe civil disobedience or something worse, that people really are fed up?
I'm getting the sense that people are looking at our situation in Nevada, much like President Trump, when he said to everybody, every state is unique. Here are some of this is the data. This is what we're looking at. But we realize that each state has to look at and do the best for its state. Well, even within the state, you have different parts of the state that are very unique. The rural areas are a different beast than they are here in Clark County or even up in Washoe, right? And so I think that the unrest is going to start most likely in those areas because they see the social distancing, they saw that all the other mitigating steps we put into place really did flatten the curve a lot, right? We're ahead of where we thought we'd be by now. And so in those rural areas where they haven't seen very many cases, they'd like to start putting, opening up and start putting in new mitigating steps. This can happen, right? I've talked to several business groups, and they keep telling me that, just like Costco being open or just like Sam's Club being open, if you put in some other mitigating procedures in place, we can get things going and we can still be safe and we can still keep the public safe, and we'll keep monitoring the data and we'll still make sure that we're testing, or at least that's the biggest I think that's the biggest portion is making sure we have more testing available. The more testing we can do, I think the more we can open up, because more data will come in. We'll have a better understanding of how many people actually had this and were asymptomatic. And then going forward, being able to have people in our restaurants. But, a dentist has been working on somebody with HIV for years, and they know how to make sure that they're keeping that patient safe. They know how to make sure they're keeping their staff safe. They know how to make sure everybody in their waiting room is safe. Everybody is safe, and so you just have to put procedures and protocols in place, and then people will respond and get back to work. I think we're all very responsible when it comes to that kind of stuff, especially in the medical profession. Those guys know their business when it comes to trying to keep patients safe. So I think that there's things that we can do, and I would like to see the public calm down a little bit, but I just see that we have to take a look at our state and realize that our state is different as far as the different geographic locations, and start figuring out different plans for those folks, because I think that they would like to start opening up. No one wants to stay home forever.
Final couple of minutes. You've received a lot of calls, I know, on unemployment insurance. And I guess my question, are we conquering that problem? We've got the medical problem that we're trying to conquer, but we also got this crazy thing called unemployment insurance, and people, they need the money. What are we doing, and are you satisfied we're doing enough?
No, I'm never satisfied that we're doing enough. I mean, if you know, you can't look at the number of days and hours that people have to call in order to get into a queue and in order to get questions answered. I mean, we're never doing enough. And I think if you ask the people from Dieter, who I spoke to this morning, they're not satisfied either. They're trying to work hard. They're trying to overcome some of the problems. Now, they just opened up the new call center, new people there, and I think that's going to help a lot. My heart goes out to these folks. Look, I do. I take 10 to 15, probably even more calls during a 4 or 5 hour period every morning, and then again in the afternoon where I'm getting all these phone calls. And my heart goes out. I had one gentleman who was a veteran, disabled veteran, and he's living in a fifth wheel, and he started crying because he just didn't have the ability to go out and get groceries pretty soon. He was deciding which meals to have and which meals to skip. You can't help but feel a little compassion for those kind of people, and quite frankly, put yourself in their position. And the guy made me cry because I didn't know what else to say, because the guy was just, he just felt like he was lost and didn't have anything to look forward to. And, luckily, we were able to get a hold of Dieter. I have to say that when people call up, they think that by calling me, they're going to get somewhere in the front of the line, and it doesn't happen because there's a queue there. But with this particular person, because of his condition, I think I was able to appeal to somebody and get him a little bit further ahead, but not, it doesn't do much good. But I mean, the guy had been calling for days like everybody else, and that's the kind of stuff that you measure and you go, can we do better? Obviously, I think we can always do a little bit better, and I want to keep striving to do better, look at the system and find out what we can do to make sure that that we do better in the future. I mean, nobody knew that this was going to happen. I mean, this is huge, right? Thousands of calls, thousands of applicants almost every day. Nobody could anticipate.
Hey, Scott, just a quick question, though. At what point, I mean, how far away are we from somebody being able to pick up their phone, call Dieter, and get a live person to actually talk to them? I mean, are we a day or 2 days or 5 days or 10 days away? How far are we to fixing this?
Oh, I wish I could answer that question for you, Kevin, and I know your listeners probably need to know. I almost had Dieter on with my Teletown Hall tonight, and that would have been a great question to ask them. But that is a great question. I will have an answer for you by next week. That is definitely something I will ask them again next time I talk to them. I just don't have an answer for you now. I know they're doing the best they can, and they're going to keep working at improving their quality.
Hey, Scott, the Teletown Hall tonight, what time, where do folks find you?
7 o'clock tonight. It's you can call in at 702-323-6712, or you can also follow my Twitter in case things change at the last second, which we've had to do one time. The Twitter is @Hammond4Nevada. That's my Twitter handle, so you can get a hold of me there. I try to keep everything up to date. The website is still Hammond4Nevada, F-O-R, Nevada, .com, and then you / COVID-19 if you want to get more information. We put a lot of information. We've been on that website for weeks, every day, trying to update things, making sure they're relevant, up-to-date. Yep. And matter of fact, we're going to put another section on there on diabetes just in case those people going through that have a place to
Hey, Scott, I got to run. I've got a hard break I've got to hit here. But thank you so much, my friend, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
All right. Thank you very much, and stay well.
Very good. Scott Hammond, State Senator, Senate District 18, joining us live and local now.
There is good news. We will recover. We will thrive if we act now. I'm Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your congressman in Nevada's District 4. I'm not a professional politician. I'm a 20-year military veteran and a successful business owner. I know how to balance a budget, secure a border, and help President Trump revive our economy. Nevada, We need a congressman who will work for you. I can help. Join SamPetersForCongress.com. Remember, Sam Peters, the number 4, Congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters.
Do you or a member of your family suffer from chronic pain? Would you like to make the pain go away? Hey, Kevin Wall here. Then you need to check out the Pain Injury Brain Center of America, now open in Las Vegas. At PIPCOA, they treat your chronic pain without addictive drugs and with non-invasive pain-free therapy. I suffered from chronic pain due to an impingement of my rotator cuff. I tried cortisone shots, painful physical therapy, nothing worked. Then a friend suggested I contact PIPCOA, and after just 6-hour-long treatments, the pain went away. In fact, I canceled my scheduled surgery. And after a brief hiatus due to the coronavirus, PIPCOA is back accepting appointments. Whether your pain comes from headaches, a disc injury, broken bones, hip or knee injury, neuropathy, even PTSD, regardless of the source of your pain, PIPCOA can make the pain go away. You don't have to live with the chronic pain. Make the pain go away. Call PIPCOA at 702-546-8767. That number again, 702-546-8767.
Hello, I'm Steven Silverkraus, candidate for University Regent in District 3. As a state assemblyman, I fought and passed major education reforms. As a regent, I'll continue the fight to modernize and improve our state's universities and colleges. Silverkraus might be hard to spell, but it's nothing compared to how hard I'll work for you. For more information, check out my website at silverkraus.com. That's silverkraus.com. SilverKraus.com. Paid for by Friends for Steven Silverkraus.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super-serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
As a woman and a mom, sometimes you just have to take a stand. Take Dan Rodimer, who's running for Congress. You kidding me? Rodimer's violent criminal record is an immediate disqualifier. Rodimer has been arrested for violent assaults 3 times. In one case, Rodimer admitted guilt to battery. Another Rodimer attack was so horrific, his victim had intracranial bleeding. A witness at one attack told police Rodimer bragged he liked to hurt people. And an arrest warrant described Rodimer as armed or dangerous. But there's more. A police report detailed Rodimer's harassment of a teenage girl, while another exposed Rodimer was investigated for a domestic incident. It's bad enough Rodimer was sued for forgery, fraud, and for not paying his taxes. But violent assaults and harassing women? That's unforgivable. Paid for and authorized by Friends of Dan Schwartz.
I'm Dan Schwartz, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
The next hour of Live and Local Now brought to you in part by Las Vegas Cyclery, featuring kids' bikes, affordable hybrids, mountain bikes, and Las Vegas Cyclery has a wide variety of the latest e-bikes. For those of you who want to ride again but you have some physical limitations, check them out at LasVegasCyclery.com. That's LasVegasCyclery.com. Stick around. Jared Fisher joins us next, Live and Local Now.
Hi, I'm Jim Small, and I'm running for State Assembly in District 2. I grew up instilled with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and spending money wisely. District 2 wants a representative in Carson City that will fight high taxes and regulations that hurt businesses and the livelihood of everyday Nevadans. I have carried those values all of my life, and I have the necessary experience to do the job. My name is Jim Small, and I'm running to be your assemblyman in District 2. Remember, think big, vote small. Paid for by Jim for Nevada.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
KBET, Winchester, Las Vegas, 790. Talk now.